So we're reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26 today, if you want to read along with me. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. Thank you for reading the Bible. Claudia, did you turn 40 yesterday? No, it's coming anyway, don't worry. A few years. Anyway, I'm turning 40 soon and I'm having trouble dealing with it. I've got a bit of grief, to be honest. And I'm imposing on other people, which I'm sorry about, Claudia and others around me. But anyway, it's great that we can be here. If you have your Bible, please leave it open. If you don't have one, that's completely fine. The verses will be on the screen. But how about I pray that God would help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, please help us as we dig into your word now. Father, help us to concentrate. Help us to understand it. Father, we all know that masks are terrible, but we know we have to wear them. So, Father, help us to be able to breathe. Help us to be able to concentrate. Help us not to be sleepy. Father, help us to see that Jesus can fix our biggest problem. Father, help us to see that Jesus has the authority to forgive our sin. Father, please help us as we dig into your word, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that you are going okay. But if we're prepared to be honest with each other, life is hard at the moment. We are in our third year of a pandemic. Now, I'm currently doing a three-year mentoring course. At the end, I'll be a mentor. I'm not quite sure what that is. I'll have a certificate. You can come see me and I can show you that sometime. Anyway, this three-year course, mentoring, and we had to do this stress test during the week. But not the stress test where you kind of run on the treadie and do that kind of thing. It was a stress test on a piece of paper, and you had to kind of write down the things that were stressing you out and the things that you kind of might help you to kind of deal with stress. In fact, doing the stress test was actually causing me some significant stress. Doing it. It was kind of like one of the things like, am I going to be like on the crazy scale, or am I going to kind of score well? Well, I scored really well in the negatives. Like, as in, not even stressed at all, which I kind of felt like this mustn't be a very good test because that doesn't kind of reflect my reality at the moment. Anyway, we kind of got together in a Zoom chat with all the other mentorees, kind of talking to the mentor, the chief, the big dog. And he said to us, as you know, after the test, how'd you go? Don't have to confess your scores or anything like that. But you know what? Did you add in a pandemic? Because I reckon they're worth 100 points. Did you add that into your test? And 100 points is actually a lot when it comes to this. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe the next year I'll have a heart attack or something like that. That's kind of the stress that kind of a pandemic adds to it. And you know what? I don't know if you know this or not, but the Church of Queensland, it's in a receivership. Not our church per se, but the whole church. Add another 100 points for that. How are you going now? And everyone in the room was kind of looking like they were about to die. And it was kind of like, oh, this is really exciting. This is really great to be part of the Presbyterian Church of Queensland. Anyway, we did the stress test and everyone was kind of freaking out. You know what? Pandemics are hard. The problem with a pandemic, though, being a pandemic, is your normal problems, they don't go away, do they? In a pandemic, you're still you, I'm still me. We still have our normal problems. So I still struggle with sin. I still struggle to sometimes have good mental health. I have lots of struggles. And I would say that you have lots of struggles as well. Friends, we might all be struggling. You might deeply crave something. You might deeply crave a husband or a wife. You might be freaking out. You might have just kind of landed in Townsville, first time away from home. Townsville is a long way from anywhere. Let's be honest, and it's hot. Everything here wants to kill you. You're right to be distressed. You might have other things going on in your life as well, other significant things. You might have had something else go on. You might be continuing to wrestle with something, wrestle with sin, wrestle with something else. Friends, all of life is hard. All of these problems, they kind of weigh on us heavily. But I need to cause you more stress. I need to tell you something. I need to tell you that you actually have a bigger problem as well. And you might think, gee, Simon, cut me some slack. But we all have a bigger problem. You're a sinner, and you need God to forgive you for the way that you've treated him and for the way that you've treated other people. And so do I. If I can be blunt with you, that is your biggest problem. That is my biggest problem, because the consequence of sin, if it's not fixed, is that we will be separated from God forever and ever and ever. This is heavy. We have a massive problem before us. There is no bigger problem in your life than your sin problem. But the great news is, in this passage, Jesus has a solution. Last week we saw that Jesus is willing to forgive our sin. We saw that as he touched the leper. This week we're going to see that Jesus actually has the authority to forgive sin. Jesus can actually deal with our biggest problem. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 5 if you have one. Our first point is that Jesus can fix our biggest problem. And let's pick up the action from verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, it's important to remember what we saw last week. I'm sorry if you weren't here, but Jesus cleaned this leper dude. He had this kind of skin disease, and he said to this guy, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices as a testimony to them. Well, who was the testimony to? Was it to the law or was it to someone else? Well, it was to the priests. He's saying, go show the priests that there is a new way to be clean, and it involves coming to Jesus. See, this leper, he's unclean, he's got this skin disease, but more's going on. He's actually got a sin problem, and Jesus can fix that up. But by Jesus saying, go show yourself to the priest has spread the word. He spread the word amongst the religious heavies. And so Jesus kind of set up the situation we're about to see. The religious heavies are all there, and Jesus has the power to heal. The scene is set. Well, have a look with me, or I'm not going to actually show you these verses, but I'm going to talk through them, verses 18 and 19. See, some men rock up, and they're carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Now, whenever I hear of a paralytic, I've got a bit of a, you know, I was raised by The Simpsons. So whenever I hear of a paralytic, I think of someone who's on the booze, right? If you're a uni student, you might have seen a lot of paralytics this week. But a paralytic is someone here in this story who can't walk. They're on a mat. And this guy, these guys kind of bring this guy who's a paralytic to Jesus. But they can't get to Jesus. They can't get in. There's too many people there. This guy wants to get to Jesus so he can be healed. So what do? The men kind of think about it, and they work out that if they go up on the roof, maybe they can get in. Now, back in the day, there was often stairs on the side of houses, stairs to kind of like a rooftop, a flat rooftop, where you kind of might have your happy hour and your nibbles and all that sort of stuff. That's where they kind of go. Well, they go up there. But what are they going to do, right? Jesus is below, beneath the roof. Well, they're going to start removing tiles and digging through, pulling up chunks of clay. This is pretty full on. You can kind of think that everyone below, right, where everyone's kind of going, what is going on up there as kind of bits of dirt and chunks of clay end up in people's eyes. Everyone's going, what is going on? Jesus, he's not too fazed by it because he knows what's going on. He's kind of set this whole thing up. But these men and the paralyzed men, they demonstrate great faith. They want to make sure that this guy can get before Jesus. And so they're ripping the roof open. And you know what? They lower this guy down on ropes. And you kind of think about it, you think, maybe there was four guys and they all had a rope each. But as they kind of do it right, they have to lower him down all at the same time. If the guys in the front go a bit quicker than the guys in the back, you know what happens? He's going to slide off. That'd be kind of funny, wouldn't it? Not really, would it? Well, actually, again, confession of my dark humour, I think I would find that funny. Anyway, but this guy, he's on the mat, but you know what? They line him, they want him down, and there he is, this guy who can't walk, the paralytic, in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Well, let's have a look at verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, this is a kind of a strange verse. When Jesus sees the faith of all the men, including the paralytic, he says to the guy lying on the mat, the guy who can't walk, he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, why does this man get his sins forgiven and the other guys don't? Well, it's quite possible that all the men have their sin forgiven because they've all demonstrated great faith by bringing this guy to Jesus and kind of digging a hole through the roof and lowering him down. But there's something else going on here. There's actually two things going on. Jesus is wanting to show the man on the mat and us that there's a greater problem than not being able to walk. As massive as that is, there is a greater problem. But Jesus is also wanting to demonstrate that he actually has the power to forgive. He's wanting the religious heavies who are kind of watching to know that he actually is legit when he says, "Your sin is forgiven." Well, this man who can't walk, he comes before Jesus wanting to be healed, and Jesus said to him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, you can imagine at this point, the guy who's on the mat, the paralytic dude, you can imagine he's actually a bit disappointed. He didn't come to have his sin forgiven. He came to walk. He came to kind of get up and walk around. He would be a bit disappointed, I reckon. But Jesus knows better than the man. And he knows better than us. See, our biggest problem isn't the fact that we might not be able to walk. Our biggest problem is our sin problem. Our biggest problem is the way that we've treated God and treated each other. That is our biggest problem because it has eternal consequences. Well, I have a friend that I catch up with for coffee, to read the Bible and to share life pretty regularly. He's someone who's gone through something quite traumatic in his life. A few years ago, he had a toothache, and he kind of went to the dentist saying, "I've got a toothache," and they thought he might have been grinding his teeth in his sleep, so they kind of gave him some drugs to kind of relax him. I don't know what kind of drugs, Jackie. Cookies or real drugs? Real drugs. They gave him real drugs to calm him down, to relax him, but it didn't really work, didn't really help him out. Then he started to get nosebleeds. Got nosebleeds and lots of them, pretty bad ones, and he went to the hospital. The dentist couldn't help him. Doctors, they're like, "We're not quite sure what's going on here with your nose. It's bleeding everywhere. We might need to straighten your septum." I think that's the thing that runs through your nose, is that right? Doctors? Yeah, it's good. Septum. It was bent. And they're like, "Okay, let's do an operation. We can fix this up. You've got the nosebleed. We'll fix this up." They're going to go in for a minor operation. But as they go in for a minor operation, they find out that this guy, this friend of mine, he actually has a much bigger problem than a bent septum. He has a cancer the size of a golf ball in his sinus. And they stop the surgery right there and then, and they go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. You need to go to Brisbane to get specialist treatment down there." And you know what? Praise God, he made it through all of that treatment. It sounded like it was a very terrible time, but he's made it through, and he kind of does the regular tests, kind of, I think, every 6 months, possibly. And last week, he was clear. He's still clear. He's still free from cancer, which is really wonderful. Well, friends, that story is pretty heavy, isn't it? It's a heavy story. He goes into the hospital with a kind of a minor problem, and it turns out to be a much bigger problem. It's heavy, and I think the more I get to know my friend, the more I realize just how heavy it was, just how much it shaped his life, just how dramatic and traumatic it was. But friends, the Bible says that sin is worse. Sin is our worst problem. Rejecting God in the world that he has made is our biggest problem. It's massive. Friends, the consequence of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first half says this: for the wages of sin is death. The consequence of rejecting God is death. This is pretty hard to hear, right? See, we all have a really big problem, a bigger problem than that kind of, you might have a problem in the forefront of your mind right now. I'm not sure what yours is, but I can kind of tell you what mine is, but I'm not going to do that. But you know what? God's word saying is actually a bigger problem than whatever's in the forefront of your mind. It's our sin. It's our rejection of God. And it's actually bigger than cancer. And if it's not solved, this problem, your future is very bleak. No matter how successful you might be in life, you might climb to the absolute top of the ladder. But if you don't get this problem sorted, you kind of have no hope. If your relationship with God is not restored before you die, then you will be punished forever and ever and ever. You will be in hell. This is a heavy picture, right? This is hard to hear. You might kind of want to fob it off because you think death is far away from you. Me being 40, I know that death is knocking on my door every day. Actually, genuinely kind of feel like that. Anyway, but you know what? I don't want to sound too pessimistic, but you could die at any time. You could die on the way home tonight. You could die during the week. You could die at any time. You actually need to get your relationship with God sorted right now, as soon as you can. See, we have no bigger problem in this life than our sin problem, than the fact that we have rejected God and there's nothing we can do to fix it up. Friends, I hope that you can see that is your biggest problem. And I hope that I can see that for myself as well. Because to be honest, seeing that sin is our biggest problem, it's really hard to keep seeing that. But we need to see that. We need to be reminded of the truth of God's word, that without Jesus, we actually have no hope. But the great news is, with Jesus, we do have wonderful hope. Jesus actually has the authority to forgive our sin. Well, that brings us to our second point. Let's kind of keep working through the text. Let's pick it up from verse 21. It says this: the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious heavies of the day, they can see that Jesus is claiming something massive here. And they're thinking in their minds, whoa, 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 only God can do this. Only God can forgive sin. Jesus is claiming something he has no right to claim in their heads. This isn't an offense to God, what Jesus is saying. This is blasphemy. But Jesus knows what they're thinking, right? He knows what they're thinking in their minds, which gives us kind of another indication of who he is. He's not a professor from X-Men. He's actually the Son of God. He knows what they're thinking. And he says this to the religious heavies in verse 23. He says this: which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Jesus wants to prove he has the authority to forgive sin. And so he says to the heavies of the day, which is easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, get up, take your mat and go home? Now, the people of the day, they would have known that both are impossible to do. Only God can do both. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can heal. But that's not really the question here. The question is, which is easier to say? Well, what do you think? Don't put your hand up or anything like that, I'll call out. But what do you think? Which is easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, get up, take your mat and go home? Now, whenever I come across this part of the Bible, it always makes me kind of just pause for a moment and think, what is Jesus saying? I have to kind of do like a double take and think, what are you actually saying? But this is what I think Jesus is saying. Jesus is indicating that it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because who would know? There's actually no kind of external evidence if your sins are forgiven. I could say to Luke, Luke, your sins are forgiven. How would you guys know? You wouldn't know, would you? You just go, oh, I'm sure, maybe they are, I don't know. The harder thing to say, imagine Luke's a paralytic now, not on the Forex, but on the mat. And imagine I say to him, Luke, get up and take your mat. That's actually the harder thing to say, isn't it? Because you'd actually see evidence of that. If he was kind of still laying on the mat, you'd be kind of thinking, oh, please, you got nothing. But if I say, get up and walk, and he does, well, that's a harder thing to say. And, you know, and it actually proves it. Jesus does the harder thing to say. He heals the man. He heals Luke. But he does this. He does this so that we know that he can do the thing that we can't see. He can forgive sin as well. Well, pick up the action again with me from verse 24. Thanks for playing along, Luke. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. In this event that kind of Jesus has set up, where he kind of wants to show everyone that he's got the authority to forgive sin, he says, the Son of Man. Now, that's the title that Jesus gives to himself. It's from Daniel chapter 7. And it's basically someone who's the ruler of the whole world, the king of the whole world. Jesus is saying, I want you to know that me, Jesus, as the king of the whole world, has the authority to forgive sin. That's why he says to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. And you know what happens? Immediately, the guy gets up, takes his mat, and goes home. Jesus proves he has authority to forgive sin. And everyone is amazed at what happened. Everyone's praising God. Even the religious heavies are praising God. They're amazed. They know by what Jesus has just done that Jesus can actually forgive sin. That is massive. They're amazed for now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but things will change. They'll actually want to kill Jesus because his authority will actually undermine their authority. But friends, Jesus has demonstrated here with a paralyzed man that he has the authority to forgive sin. Well, I'll always remember my grandma Joan and my granddad Bill talking about their son Andrew. He was my uncle. And Uncle Andrew, he was a mining engineer. I think he's a mining consultant now. Anyway, he developed this kind of method of blowing up lots of dirt, blasting it might be called, really effectively with less explosive material. So you use less TNT or whatever you might use. Use less of that, and you also use compressed bags of air. And it helps kind of make a bigger explosion. Anyway, my grandparents, Bill and Joan, they loved the time they went to Dysart, west of Mackay, to kind of go to the mine, kind of like on a tourist trip. I don't know if mines still do that. This was kind of a long time ago. And they went to watch the blast. I'd love to watch a blast, to be honest. It's quite what person doesn't really want to see a big thing get exploded? As long as no one gets hurt, everyone wants to see that. Anyway, so they're there. Grandma and Grandpa are there, Joan and Bill, and they're kind of getting the build-ups happening. And some people start to, in the tourist group, start to question, Why is the youngest guy there, Uncle Andrew, why is he bossing everyone around? Why is he telling them what to do? And Grandma and Grandpa, they delighted when someone else said, you know what? He's telling everyone else what to do because he's the boss. That's why. He's the boss. And they're like, yes, my son is awesome. And then, you know, as a parent, you kind of, that's you live for those moments when you can kind of say, look how great I am because of my progeny. Parents are always hoping to do that. Anyway, Bill and Joan, they always told that story. And Uncle Andrew, he did have the authority, right? He was the boss, but he was also the one who'd actually designed the technique at the University of Queensland or something, getting the compressed bags of air and blowing stuff up. He clearly had the authority in that situation. Well, friends, Jesus, what gives him the authority to forgive sin? Is he the mining manager? Did he develop some crazy way to blow up dirt with compressed bags of air? Well, no. Jesus has the authority to forgive sin because he's the Son of Man. He's the ruler of the whole world, appointed by God. He's also the Son of God. And you can see that the more you work through Luke's gospel. He has the position and authority to forgive sin. But Jesus is also the one who will pay for sin. Jesus is the lonely and frail man who will carry his cross to the top of a hill and he'll be crucified and die for our sin. And you know the thing that really verifies whether or not Jesus' death actually pays for our sin? It's the resurrection. Lots of guys died on crosses. The resurrection proves that God kind of accepted Jesus' sacrifice, that it pays for our sin, and he rose again, and now Jesus is the risen ruler. The resurrection verifies the fact that Jesus has paid for our sin. Friends, if we come to Jesus in faith, if we come to Jesus trusting in him that he actually can forgive us, just like those guys who came with the paralyzed man, well, then we can be forgiven. We can have a restored relationship with God. We can have our biggest problem solved, which is wonderful, wonderful news. And this news, this wonderful news, it should actually change our lives. The fact that our biggest problem has been dealt with in Jesus, it should actually give us joy, great joy. But I think for a lot of us, it rarely does. I very quickly forget the depths of my sin, just how sinful I am. And therefore, as I forget just how sinful I am, the wonderful news of Christianity kind of slips through my fingers. To be a healthy Christian, someone who actually delights in the gospel, we need to have a really healthy understanding of just how sinful we are, just how bad our sin problem is. We have rejected our Creator. We've told him to get stuffed. We've treated other people poorly. That is terrible. We should be punished. We need to know that. We need to have a healthy understanding of just how sinful we are. But we also need to have a really healthy understanding of just how merciful and gracious and loving Jesus is. If we want to be joyful about Jesus, we need to know that he's solved our biggest problem. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I read out the first bit before. It kind of says, for the wages of sin is death. The second half says this, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our sin, we should be punished, but Jesus steps in our place. That is wonderful news. That should give us joy. But if we get that news, we should also want to share that news with others. Because if our biggest problem is sin, well, then your friends and your family, despite all the hard stuff that might be going on in their lives, their biggest problem is their sin as well. If people don't have a relationship with Jesus, they don't trust in Jesus, they will pay for their own rejection of God. They'll be punished forever and ever. This is really heavy stuff. And so we need to share the gospel. We need to tell our friends and family about Jesus. We need to build genuine relationships. We need to talk about the gospel sensitively and lovingly. Because you know what? Once someone passes away, it's too late. They haven't trusted in Jesus while they're alive. They don't get a second chance. This is heavy. This is full on. Tonight, can I encourage you, after the service is finished, to be real with one another? Can I encourage you to talk about the passage? Oh, I think maybe here at 6 p.m. we've gotten to a bad habit of actually not talking about the passage after the service. I think we need to do that. Is to remind each other of God's amazing love and grace in his word. Friends, we need to share with one another, be real with one another. Our biggest problem has been fixed in Jesus. Share your struggles. Pray for one another because there is so much on the line. Friends, the Apostle Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says the only reason that Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he wants more people to actually trust in him. So the point of life, it's not to be comfortable. The point of life is not to have heaven here on earth. The point of life is not to climb up the ladder as high as you can go. Unfortunately, that is how you waste your life. The way you make the most of your life is by being on about Jesus, trusting in him, delighting in him, and sharing the gospel with those who come across your path. Because with Jesus, we're actually part of something really special. We're going to help people to go from death to life. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. Can I encourage you to be excited about that? Well, friends, why don't we pray that God would help us to understand his word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, help us to delight in it. Father, help us to love and serve you. Father, help us to know that we have a massive problem. Help us to know that Jesus can deal with it. Help us want to pass that on to others. Father, please help us to see that Jesus has taken care of our biggest thing. Help us to be joyful about that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.